ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I will start tonight with the Mangalacharna. Because by invoking the names of the Lord and the great Acharyas, Namanyanyantasya Yashonkitaniyat, then one's life becomes auspicious. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupa Nugha Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamara Sambode Padambhujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virvava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Panchata Cha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Ketanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Chatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sudatau Pangor Mama manda mater gati, matsarva swapatam bhojau, radha madana mohano, divya vrindaranya kalpa trumata, srimad ratna gada singha sanastau, srimad radha shila govinda devau, prishtali bi sevya mano smarami, Srimandra sarasarambi pamshivatata tastitaha karshan venu swaner gopir gopinatha striestunaha tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye vrindayai tulsi devyai Priyayai Keshavasya cha Vishnu Bhakti Pradidevi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nasingha Jai Nasingha Jai Jai Nasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Yada Yada Hitarmasya Lanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutana Mad Asya tadatmanam srajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha Sarva dharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam praja, ahang tang sarva papebhyo, mokshai shami masuchaha. Shushushro shradhanasya, vasudeva kataruchihi, syan mahat sevaya vipra, punya tirta nishevanad, shrinvatam swakata krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantaksto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayaschaye Chaitai Ter Anavidam Sitam Satve Prasidati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate Vidyate Rudaye Grantish Chijante Sarva Samshayaha Shiyante Chasya Karmani Drishtae Vatmanishvare Can we try that again? Malihaya kare se vijaro pan shavana kirtana jali kare shi chan tahan vistarita hoe pali prema pal ihan male se che nicha shravana dija vairagya vija nicha bhakti yoga shikshartameka purusha purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Tari Kripam Budhir Yastam Aham Brabhadye Kalam Nashtam Nij Yogam Nijam Ya Chaitanya Nama Avirbhutas Tasya Padara Vinde Gadam Gadam Liyatam Chichabringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande. And we're continuing with our recitation of the Bhagavad Gita chapter 17. We do Sanskrit and then English, and vice go back and forth. Arjunuvacha ye shastra vidimut srija ejante shadayan vitaha tesham nishta tuka krishna sattva maho rajastamaha. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? Shri Bhagavanuvacha Trivida Bhavati Shraddha Dehinam Sasvabhavaja Satviki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrinu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds: in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. Satvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayo yam purusho yo yach shraddha sa eva saha. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence unto the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. Chante satvika devan yaksha rakshamsi rajasaha prayitan bhuta gunams chanye yajante tamasa janaha. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Ashastra vihitam goram tapyante ye tapo janaha tambahankara samyukta kamaraga balanvitaha karshayanta sharirastam uta grama machetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastam Tanvidya Sura Nishchayan. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Aharastvapi sarvasya Trivido bhavati priyaha yagnas tapas tata danam tesham petam imam shrinu. Even the food each person refers is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Now hear of the distinctions between them. Ayu sattva balarogya Sukha priti vivardhanaha rasya snigdha stira hridya ahara satvika priyaha. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Katvam la lavanat yushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasasyeshta tuka shoka maya pradaha. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam apicha medyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, food that is tasteless, decomposed, and putrid, and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Pala kangshipir yagyo vididrishto yaijate yashtavyamivati mana samadaya sasatvikaha. Of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. Abhisandaya tu palam dambartam apichayvayat ijate bharata shreshta tam yajnam vidirajasam. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Vidihinam ashrishtanam mantrahinam adakshanam shraddha virahitam yagnam tamasam paritakshate. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam shaucham arjavam brahmacharya mahimsa cha shariram tapa uchate. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. Anuvega karam vakyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Mana prasada saumyatvam maunamatma vanigraha bhava samshutir ityetat tapo mana samuchyate. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapas tatri vidam narahi apalakang shibir yuktai satvikam parichakshate. This threefold austerity, performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. Satkara mana pujartam tapo dampena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadruvam. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. Muda grahinatmano yat pidaya kriyate tapaha parasyo sadhanartam va tattamasamudaritam. Penance performed out of foolishness, with self-torture, or to destroy or injure others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Dātavyamiti yaddānam dhiyate nupakārine deshe kale cha patre cha taddānam satvikam smritam. Charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Yat tu paryupaparartam palam udishyava punaha diyate cha paliklishtam taddanam rajasam smritam. But charity performed with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruit of results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. Adesha kaliya danam apratebhyascha diyate asatkritam avagnatam tatamasam udaritam. And charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Om tat sat iti nirdesho brahmanas trividasmritaha brahmanas tena vedascha yajnascha vihitapura. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Tasmad Om Ityudaritya Yajnadana Tapakriyaha Pravartante Vitanokta Satatam Brahma Vadinam. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance, in accordance with scriptural regulations, begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Tat ityanis sabhisyand palam gyata pakriyaha dana kriyashcha vivida kriyante moksha kangshibihi. Without desiring fruit of results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. Sadbhave satubhave cha sat itat prayujate prashaste karmani tata sat shabda parta yujate Yagne tapasidane cha stiti sad iti chochite karma chaiva ta artiyam sad ityeva badiyate. The absolute truth is the objective of devotional service, and it is indicated by the word sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the absolute nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Sanaprita. Ashradaya hutam datam tapas taptam kritam chayat asad ityuchate parta na chatat pretya no iha. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Sanaprita, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Pramavidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Shradatraya Vibhag Yoga Nama Saptasodhyayaha Hari Om. Feel better? Yes. Me too. Last night we read 1711, and we're continuing at 1712. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Purport. Sometimes sacrifices and rituals are performed for elevation to the heavenly kingdom or for some material benefits in this world. Such sacrifices or ritualistic performances are considered to be in the mode of passion. Text 13. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of Scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport, faith in the mode of darkness or ignorance is actually faithlessness. Sometimes people worship some demigod just to make money, and then then spend the money for recreation, ignoring the scriptural injunctions. Such ceremonial shows of religiosity are not accepted as genuine. They are all in the mode of darkness. They produce a demoniac mentality and do not benefit human society. 14. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. Purport. The Supreme Godhead here explains the different kinds of austerity and penance. First, he explains the austerities and penances practiced by the body. One should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to the demigods, the perfect, qualified brahmanas, and the spiritual master and superiors, like father, mother, or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. These should be given proper respect. One should practice cleansing oneself externally and internally, and he should learn to become simple in behavior. He should not do anything which is not sanctioned by the scriptural injunctions. He should not indulge in sex outside of married life, for sex is sanctioned in the scripture only in marriage, not otherwise. This is called celibacy. These are penances and austerities as far as the body is concerned. 15. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Purport. One should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students, but such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. Besides that, one should not talk nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what one is saying. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. By such discussions, one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. There is a limitless stock of Vedic literature, and one should study this. This is called penance of speech. 16. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Purport. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. In the present age, we unnecessarily engage the mind in so many different ways for sense gratification, and so there is no possibility of the mind's becoming satisfied. The best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and the Mahabharata. One could take advantage of this knowledge and thus become purified. The mind should be devoid of duplicity, and one should think of the welfare of all. Silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization. The person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. Control of the mind means detaching the mind from sense enjoyment. One should be straightforward in his dealings and thereby purify his existence. All these qualities together constitute austerity and in mental activities. 17. This threefold austerity, performed with transcendental faith, by men not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. So let's just discuss what we heard so far. Any points that stuck in your mind that were particularly noticeable or helpful? 1, 2. Mike?
When we were in Jagannath Puri, Madhavananda Prabhu was giving the example of that his Guru Maharaj used that our bhajan should be our vomit. And in the sense that when you vomit, everyone can tell what you've been eating. And so Prabhupada was using the austerities of speech. He gave the example that there is an unlimited well of Vedic wisdom, and that one should study these. And he said, this is austerity of speech. So one might be thinking, well, that's, you're not really speaking, but you're reading. But actually, it's what you're reading that you'll speak naturally. So that part stuck out to me.
Yeah. When Prabhupada comments, thank you for that, on the verse, Shabde Parita Nishnatam Brahman Yupa Shama Shrayam Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jignashu Sheyutamam Shabde Paricha Nishnatam Brahman Yupashramashrayam. This verse in the 11th canto says, Tasmad, therefore, Gurum Prapadyeta, one should surrender to Guru. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jignasu Shreya Uttamam, and one should inquire about the ultimate, one's ultimate benefit in life. And then gives the quality of the person that one should inquire from. Shabde Paricha Nishnatam means the person is heard sufficiently. And as Prabhupada puts it there, one who has taken a dip in the transcendental ocean of spiritual wisdom, transcendental Vedic knowledge, he's actually bathed in it. He's taken a swim in that knowledge. And then it becomes readily available to give to others. Thank you.
I particularly like 17:15, which talks about austerities of speech, pleasing and beneficial. So whenever we talk to non-devotees, it's easy for us to praise them, but not beneficial, or tell them harsh words, but are beneficial. So it's, I somehow feel it's a very good combination of pleasing and, but at the same time, beneficial.
Nice point. Look at the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.1, and we get a sense, an expanded sense of what this means to speak pleasingly and beneficially. And this verse from the appearance of Sri Narada is a famous purport in which Prabhupada describes what is realization. In order to speak in such a way, one must have realized the knowledge of him or herself. So I'll read the purport, if I may. How is the sound quality? For me, it sounds a little muffled. It's okay? It's just because it's going that way. Okay. Sri Vyasadeva said, Vyasuvacha, iti bruvanam samstuya. Muninam dirga satrinam vridakula pati sutam bhavritcha shaunako bravit vyasaha vyasadev uvacha said iti thus bruvanam speaking samstuya congratulating Muninam, of the great sages, Dirgha, prolonged, Satrinam, of those engaged in the performance of sacrifice, Vridaha, elderly, Kulapati, head of the assembly, Sutam unto Suta Goswami, Bahurachaha, learned Shaunakaha, of the name Shaunaka, Abravit, addressed. Vyasadev said, on hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses for the speaker, the qualifications of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Sri Shaunaka Rishi had all these qualifications, and thus he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it, yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shaunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Suta Goswami, simply by his uttering yata ditam and yata mati, and therefore he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam so that its real purpose can be served and Lord Krishna can be realized without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation will be for ulterior purposes, and such recitation is useless labor, both for the speaker and for the audience. And I particularly wanted to point out that personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. So this also constitutes the austerity of speech, sticking to the meaning of the previous acharya, and at the same time adapting it to the audience so that it's interesting. Prabhupada used the word interesting. What else did you hear? Yes, Nagar Kirtan.
I had at least one question. I wanted to ask.
I predicted that in my mind that you would ask. Should have wrote it down. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was appreciating the austerity of speech verse. I think it's a really nice formula that Krishna gives. And I've heard a lot of people, devotees, say that, you know, Krishna or the Shastra always gives things in the order of importance or priority. I've never seen that substantiated by any particular shloka or purport or anything, but I've heard it a lot. And I'm just curious if you could verify or not whether or not that's actually true. Like, for example, that truthful, pleasing, beneficial, not agitating to others, truthful is the most important, and then you can go down and you can say not agitating to others is the least important or something like that. Is that actually backed up by any shastra or anything, or is that just...
Navina Narada would like to answer that. Oh, Mike, you're live on TV. And we'd like to welcome our audience at home. Everyone, please turn to the camera and say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, the last point in the sequence is it should be always in relation to Vedic literature. So that's the last point. So that seems to me to be the most important point, that it's related to the Vedic scriptures. And some of the others seem to be more like time, place, circumstance, moral injunctions, like that.
I see.
So that would defeat the argument of the first one is always the most important of these.
He was saying the last one's the most important, no? You're saying? Yeah, actually we heard the other day, who was with me? I'm looking for faces. We actually just heard something from, must have been Bhagavatam, where Lord Krishna was speaking about, anyway, I'll find it. It's somewhere filed in a drawer here. But recently we heard something about the final verses. I know it was in relationship, it was you and I. You should have remembered this. We were reading the chapter 22, remember? Of the Adi Leela, no, Madhya Leela. And in it, there's a statement there about Krishna's pointing out how important bhakti is, and surrender to him is important, and he says it near the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember that section? Okay. If it's vague for me also. Satyadev Prabhu.
When I hear this verse that Krishna is speaking about austerity of speech, it reminds me a lot about non-violent communication. And if we look at this verse in terms of communication, I mean, if we're speaking, you know, we can speak to a wall, but there's no purpose in that. The reason we speak something is because we want to communicate that idea or conception to someone. And in order for that communication to take place, they actually have to hear it. Right. If they haven't heard it or understood it, then the communication actually hasn't happened. And so in order for that to take place, the person who's going to receive the communication has to be open to it. And if the speech isn't pleasing, or if our motivation isn't to benefit them, or if we say it in such a way, we may be speaking the truth, but we speak it in a way that's going to disturb them, then the communication's not going to happen. It reminds me of a quotation I saw from Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Someone posted on Facebook, probably one of his students, and he was talking about relationships between devotees and the institution. This is a bit of a stretch, but I think it's applicable. And he says that you may be an idealist about the teaching or about your guru, but he says don't be an idealist about the institution. If you do, you'll just become frustrated. And then he mentions something very helpful for me about communication. He says, try and be friends with everyone, make friends with everyone. And if you have that, if you have friendship or trust, he doesn't say trust, but he says make friends. He says if you have that relationship of trust, then you can make suggestions. In other words, if you don't have that, if the person's not going to be open to what you have to say, if there's some problem in the relationship or there's no trust there, then if you make a suggestion, most likely it's not going to be received. So he says, if you have that friendship, then make your suggestion. And then he says, if they follow it, fine. And if they don't, then be detached. So I thought that is applicable to austerity of speech and the concept of self, of communication.
And just as you were saying that, I was thinking about how applicable it is to the the art of book distribution, because one gets hundreds and then thousands of opportunities to practice the austerity of speech when approaching people who appear to be perfect strangers. But how is it that one can immediately develop such a friendship with somebody? How is it that one can speak in such a way that is interesting or pleasing, and at the same time helps them to accept Krishna's gift that we're offering and so forth? And I just think that it's one of the ways that devotees become refined, that is, teaching Krishna consciousness to the outside world, not necessarily even just book distribution, although I think of that quite frequently because it's such an outrageous activity that you just go anywhere to anyone at any time and just walk up and say, "Hi, how are you?" and make a connection. And it requires much of this austerity speech, but any kind of teaching Krishna consciousness requires intention to open people's hearts, create an environment in which they can take in Krishna consciousness. And that makes for good practice and also an exciting life. Shauri Prabhu, you're going to make a point?
When I think of this shloka, I think of the other sloka, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bhadrata, that we're born into this world into delusion, overcome by desire and hate. And it's austere to speak against our natures, our material natures. So speaking words that are, people have a tendency to be untruthful, to, not be pleasing because they're selfish, to, just kind of like be the opposite of what should be done, because we have these material natures that cause us to act otherwise. So here Krishna has given us like instruction to, so it's austere actually to be a nice person. It takes some self-control and some desire and some, of course, ultimately good association. And so
if he sums up these three categories of austerities and saying this is a practice, it's something that one could chart out and look at very carefully every day and see how one can apply in one's own life. We were also thinking recently on the way to the train station, I think, about satisfaction as one of the austerities of the mind. And it goes to the same point you're making, Shauri Prabhu, that the mind has a tendency to be agitated in association with material sense gratification. And Prabhupada makes this point that the mind can become satisfied when one withdraws it from sense gratification. Prahlad Maharaj makes a similar point. He says as soon as one begins to think about sense gratification, not even engage in it, but just make a plan for it, in that even that in budding initial stage, one feels dissatisfaction. What to speak of when one actually pursues it? Then the results become, they loop within themselves and become more and more agitating to the mind. So this also is counterintuitive to what is propagated in the world in general, in the material atmosphere, and that is, try to satisfy yourself through sense gratification. And here Krishna is saying, detach yourself from sense gratification. One of the other points that he makes, Srila Prabhupada makes, that is, in his purport, to achieve such a state is to think how to do good for others. This is something that we notice the sages are doing at Naimasaranya, contemplating how to do good for others. And if one's engaged in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, this is the idea that we're giving mercy to others. And it is very satisfying and absorbing, isn't it? When one's engaged in it, and thinking how to do that, preparing oneself to do that, in the act of doing it, and giving something wonderful to others, then there's a feeling of complete absorption and satisfaction. So these are very practicable austerities. Maybe you can mention just a few more of the points that you heard within these three austerities that you remembered, Shraddha. Because I'm getting excited about them now, thinking like maybe you could try this out. What if I was confronted with dissatisfaction in my mind and I decided to practice being satisfied? And I mentioned that the other night. Satyadev Prabhu responded, yes, it's a choice. Now we've been instructed that we have to move up again. So please try to move up by 7.2 inches or more. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Maharaj, there were two points that stuck my mind. One was where it said that the best training for the mind is in gravity of thought.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Because I was thinking, like, I interpreted that as particularly my mind that goes goes in all kinds of directions, thinking of small and useless thoughts. And one useless thought gives rise to six more, and you know, then there is an avalanche of that. Instead of that, if one thinks deeply, and I was thinking that how can I think deeply about things, and then I said, delve yourself into the literature, and that was the second point where it said that you know you should engage your mind in reading the literature, which is very satisfying. Like stories in the Mahabharata and the Puranas, they're very, very satisfying. So we'll go deep into thinking of that.
So what does gravity mean?
Gravity is heavy.
Literally.
Heavy.
Oh. I'd like to see the definition. At least we can give it a try. I mean, it's nice. Krishna gives a very specific direction. And if we could study it and understand it and then practice it even slightly, it could make a big difference. Is that it already? Okay. Go ahead.
According to physics, gravity is the force that attracts a body towards the center of the earth or toward any other physical body having mass. For most purposes, Newton's laws of gravity apply, with minor modifications to take the general theory of relativity into account. The degree of intensity of this measured by acceleration. Then, the second is, extreme or alarming importance, seriousness, crimes of utmost gravity. Seriousness or solemnity of manner. Has the poet ever spoken with greater eloquence or gravity?
I think this third one is closest to what we're looking for, as something seriousness and solemnity of manner. Okay?
And the origin is late 15th century and comes sense two from Old French or from Latin gravitas, weight, seriousness, from gravis, which means heavy. since one dates from the 17th century.
And what is Krishna's direction about austerity of thought?
Best training of mind is gravity in thought.
Gravity in thought. Kashtubha Prabhu, what does it mean? You can pass on the mic.
I think it means the opposite of trivial, that we have a tendency to allow our mind to contemplate so many things that that really have no significant lasting importance. And so that we should train, we have to make the effort to train the mind to bring it back to those subjects that actually do have lasting value.
Could you give an example of a specific scenario where one might be absorbed in something trivial and give a specific example of a trivial thing the mind might become absorbed in, and then how one might make that transition to something that's weighty?
That is very easy for me to do. But perhaps we tend to want to be recognized for things. We expect to be, whatever we do, to be appreciated in some way or to be recognized as being special. And that can lead to the mind becoming, we can contemplate this kind of thing for a long time, our disappointment or frustration. But really, we don't need that. It has no lasting value to us. Actually, we need to let go of it. But I mean, there are billions and billions of things this world provides that that are trivial that we can get caught up in.
Okay, and what about how to transfer oneself? You said there's a process through which from whimsical thought or trivial thought, you use the word, you could then realize you're thinking in a trivial way,
yeah,
and then transfer that into grave thoughts. Mm. Where would you go?
Well,
can you be more specific?
Yeah. I think you are a wonderful example of encouraging people to become absorbed in shlokas, for instance. So like that's an instant way to change the channel and bring your mind to something that's important, something that's lasting, something that's real and truthful. But the other day, Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami was giving class, and he made a point that struck me. It was a simple point. It's not something that I hadn't heard many times before, but somehow how he expressed it stayed with me. That because we're infinitesimal, then we become influenced by the environment that we're in. Whereas Krishna, he's not influenced by the environment that he's in. But because we're infinitesimal, we are, so we have to be very careful about what environment we place ourselves in. And so if we're in the short term, the quick thing, we can switch the channel just by taking it to some transcendental vibration. And in the long run, if we're careful about what environment we keep ourselves in, then our mind will have less tendency to be influenced by an environment that takes us towards the trivial.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I would also add to that there's a way in which one can decide one's own parameter of thought ahead of time and then make a solemn vow to only speak or entertain one's mind within that realm. And to achieve that, one can rearrange one's environment in life and get rid of things that are outside of that boundary. I'll give you an example. Recently in America, there was, well, it's probably still going on, there was a lot of upheaval, concern about political matters. And I noticed an inordinate amount of concern and thought about it. And it reached all the way to, when we were in Kartik, we reached all the way to the Dom. And so much so that when I'd meet friends coming from there, or even when I met Satyadev Prabhu, was it still going on in Japan? Was that when I met you in Japan and said, good to see you, let's just not talk about what happened in America or something like that? And then still, I mean, it still come up because I think people were still processing things and we were sitting at Prasadam in Jagannath Puri, and somehow or other I brought up a name of somebody who might have been involved in that political process. And there was a visceral effect. It agitated Satyadev's mind and also Madhavananda, who was sitting next to me. And then I made a vow that I'm only saying it as an example now, but I decided to withdraw my mind completely from that realm and to take out of my purview any links that would remind me of that. And I realized soon afterwards that it was a choice to enter within that realm. Om Bhur Bhuva Swa Tat Savitur. There's a description of the Gayatri Mantra, which is describing various realms in the universe, but they're also states of consciousness. And throughout the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna describes various realms of consciousness that the living entity lives in, this awakened state, dreaming, deep sleep without dreams. And there are various levels of consciousness mentioned also in the Yoga Sutras, divisions of consciousness. And one can understand, one can study those and understand those various realms of consciousness and how to stay in a particular realm. Particularly, we're looking at Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada describes in one lecture that he gave on this subject that the highest kind of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. No wonder we're in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's the superior kind of consciousness. And so, going back to my practical point, that is, one might take this information that we're getting from austerities of the mind, as an example, and gravity of thought, understand that it's one of Krishna's instructions for our betterment, and then apply it very literally to our life by making boundaries very clearly for the mind, just like as one would make for a child, and say you have to go to bed at this time, you have to wake up this time, these are the things you can look at, you can't go over there because you could fall off the edge, and so forth, and then draw up a plan and say this is what I'll do. And if the plan breaks through at some point, one has to redraw it and start over again. And this is the austerity that one must perform in order to feel satisfaction and also to make spiritual progress. So it takes some forethought. First hearing from Krishna and accepting with faith. And we'll notice that after Krishna describes this threefold austerity, he then says that someone who practices it faithfully follows this process without any expectation of gain, then is perfectly following this. So hearing about it and then understanding that Krishna has spoken it so that we can benefit, and then chalking out a plan to follow it very specifically. Rasika Sharomani. Thank you, Kashtubha Prabhu.
Thank you.
Confirmed.
It's a question.
It's okay. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
It's a question from Indradyumna Maharaj.
From Indradyumna Maharaj. First, please, let's offer our obeisances. Indradyumna Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Krishna consciousness is often described as a joyful process. What circumstances necessitate being grave? And how to know when to be joyful or grave?
Thank you, Maharaj, for your beautiful question. I've heard this several times. There's a photograph of Prabhupada, I think it was taken by Gurudas, in which Prabhupada looks extremely grave. And when someone asked Prabhupada about that picture, it's like, why do you look so sad or serious, and Prabhupada said, no, I was actually in ecstasy. I was experiencing extreme happiness in ecstasy. And so, just as the Shastra describes how there's crying and separation. It appears to be a kind of extreme misery that the devotees are experiencing. As Gaura Govinda Maharaj used to talk about the highest states of Krishna consciousness and the gopis and so forth, and then they cry and cry and cry and cry. And however, Prabhupada points out frequently that they're experiencing the highest pleasure from this so-called, what appears from a material standpoint to be misery. So when devotees are cultivating gravity, they're living within the, as Stephen Covey explains, there's these two circles, one within the other. One's the circle of influence, and the other is the circle of concern, which is a larger circle outside that. And when one stays within that circle of influence, particularly by following Krishna's instructions, and knowing that by staying to what's available to me, what I can do something about, one actually feels a kind of constant satisfaction, even in the midst of great changes or upheavals in life, because one has that clarity of thought to be focused on this circle of influence. And devotees are joyful constantly, even in the midst of what appears to be reversals of fortune and so forth, because they're thinking about Krishna's service. Prabhupada mentioned once when he was in Calcutta during the war and bombs were dropping. In fact, people had to shut off all their lights so that the bombers couldn't see. And Prabhupada described how the bombs were coming, and he made that sound, chi-gong, chi-gong, the bombs are dropping. And he said that he went on with his service. He didn't become disturbed because he was feeling protected by Krishna. And even though it was a serious situation, he was focused on the fact that whatever happens would be Krishna's mercy. So, can you repeat the question and make sure I answered it?
Krishna consciousness is often described as a joyful process. What circumstances necessitate being grave? And how to know when to be joyful or grave?
I think that we find within the realm of practicing Krishna consciousness, for instance, there are circumstances in which the devotees are grave. One example would be during the disappearance days of great Vaishnavas. We saw Prabhupada showed the example how he would become grave and introspective, for instance, on the disappearance day of his spiritual master. He became extremely grave, and this is appropriate behavior. However, there's still joy within that, because in worshiping the Vaishnavas, whether they're here or departed, one feels joy within one's heart. But expressing it outwardly, devotees are measured also in how they express their joy. In fact, joy isn't just being externally jubilant and demonstratively flailing one's arms or dancing with extra exuberance, although there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually good. But as mentioned in the verse, evam vrta svav priyanama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta ucher hasatyato rotiti roti kayati unmadavan rititi lokabhayaha, which is a verse given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his spiritual master Srila Ishvara Puri after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation and came back saying that maybe you gave me the wrong mantra because I've become like a madman. And this verse says that when one chants Hare Krishna, then one becomes naturally attracted to a name of Krishna, a particular form of Krishna, and then one's heart begins to melt. And then one may not consider how one is projecting oneself to the outside world. Some devotees cry, laugh, roll on the ground, and so forth. In the purport, it's explained by various acharyas, especially Madhvacharya quotes a verse from the Puranas that says that not all devotees show external symptoms, which would include joy, but and they don't exhibit those things externally, as Prabhupada didn't. Typically, he was grave in many circumstances, although it wasn't that he was boring. He was humorous. He seemed jolly at some times, but he was measured in how he projected that. And he didn't just cry all the time or roll on the ground. We never saw that. Maybe only a couple times when he couldn't help himself. During Jai Radha Madhava, we were in Mayapur that year. Maybe it was 1974 or 5, and Prabhupada was singing Jai Radha Madhava, and then he froze, and everyone else froze in the whole temple room. And then Hansaduta started chanting, and then Prabhupada came out of his trance. And so Madhvacharya says that many devotees don't show external symptoms, but they always show two symptoms, which is their steadiness in devotional service and the merciful vibration that comes from their mouth, mukya prasadan. So joy is best channeled through these two features of a devotee, which is steadiness. I mean, unless one was joyful, how could one go on for decades going to Mangalartik, doing a particular service? We see various devotees who do a certain service every day, and we can understand from that that they're actually joyful. And when we hear them speak, then we know because of the merciful vibrations that come from their mouth, this their internal state of joy. So artificial joyfulness is a real disturbance to the Vaishnava society, because sometimes we see that also. I mean, oftentimes neophytes express almost too much joyfulness. This is called utsahan mayi, as mentioned in the Madhurya Kadambini, that sometimes when a new student learns how to do something like make a semicolon, here's how you do it, and then I'll make 100 semicolons in this one paragraph. And so become overly exuberant, over enthusiasm, over joyfulness becomes a sign that one may be doing it artificially. Anyway, one thing about being around advanced devotees that I've noticed is that they behave appropriately according to the circumstances. It's one thing I've noticed. I can think of several devotees that I consider to be very advanced, that being around them, I always notice they always know how to act. They don't put the rest of the sangha in awkward situation by acting contrary to the situation. So an advanced devotee, an advanced Vaishnav, acts appropriately according to the environment. One thing that we talked about recently, in times of tragedy, for instance, Madhavananda was telling us that Krishna Kund's mother or father had died. Mother? Father had died. And it was the same day they were going to visit him. Burijan. I just gave you the pronoun and without the name. Okay, so Burijan. They were going to visit Burijan Prabhu. And when they got there, it was the same day. They hadn't told him, Burijan, that is, that her father had died, but when he opened the door to greet them, he looked at him and said, "All right, what's the matter? What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, her father just died." And he said, now is not the time for philosophy, now is the time for crying. And I know when my father died, I was in Vrindavan, and I got a phone call at 1 a.m. or something like that. And I felt like somebody had beat me up. I have a really heavy heart. I remember walking down the stairs from the MVT second floor flat where I was staying, and I ran into one devotee. He said, what's wrong? And I said, my father just died. And he said, here, you need a hug. You know, and he started hugging me. And I thought that was appropriate for the time. I really needed that. If he had said, you're not your body, Prabhu. Like, I'll give you an example of Utsahan Mai. One of our god brothers, Mahamuni Prabhu, was very sick one day. He had the flu. It was in St. Louis. He was lying on the floor of the Brahmachari ashram. And there were a few new bhaktas in the room. And Mahamuni groaned because he was in pain because he had a fever. So one of the new bhaktas was brushing his teeth and he turned around and said, Prabhu, you're not your body. And Mahamuni got all his strength and got up on his elbow and he looked at him and he goes, Prabhu, you're not my body either. And so, I mean, in the Gita, Krishna says, "Atmaupam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna," that a perfect yogi is one who understands how people are suffering and enjoying in the material world. He has empathy for the material situation. It may be a dream, but it's a dream that's very terrifying and troubling to the soul. And so he has a good bedside manner, and he knows, or she knows, how to interact in such a way to help body, mind, and soul at the same time. This is Vaishnavas, very expert in that. This is why it's so nice to be around Vaishnavas. It's very soothing. Vaishnavas are not inappropriate and just let's be joyful because you're the soul, you're not your body, and so forth. be joyful now! you have to... Vaishnavas are expressed themselves appropriately and in a very real way. Thank you, Maharaj, for your beautiful questions. And just knowing you're there makes it worth living. Now, Narendra Prabhu, hold your question because I'm managing the clock properly tonight. We have to move on, otherwise I'll become a victim of the clock. And we'll come back to it. But we have to do our Das Avatar Stotram. I mean, technically we don't if you went to class this morning. Because Maharaj sang this. But let's sing it together because I just have this philosophy that if you pick some verses and you sing them every day until they start lifting you above the modes of material nature, this is what Swadhyayam Vyasanam Chaiva means in the austerities of speech. It means to regularly recite Vedic literature. And if you do it over and over and over again, then you get a special benediction from the literature itself, and it begins to carry you. Pralaya payo di jale drita vanasi veda vihita vahitra charitra makeda keshava drita mina sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Shitiriha Vipulatare Tishtati Tava Prishte Dharani Dharana Kina Chakra Garishte Keshava Drita Durma Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vasati Dashana Shikare Dharani Tava Lagna Shashani Kalanka Kalevani Magna
Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Tavakara Kamalavare Nakamadhuta Shingam Dalita Hiranyakashi Putanu Bringam Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Chalayasi Vikramane Balimadhuta Vamana Paranaka Nirajanita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Kshatriya Rudhiramaye Jagadapagata Papam Snapayasi Payasi Shamita Bhavatapam Keshavadrita Bhrigupati Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Vitarasi Dikshurane Dikpati Kamaniya Dashamukha Mauli Balim Ramaniyam Keshavadrita Rama Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Vahasi Vapushi Vishade Vasanam Jaladabham Halahati Biti Milita Yamudabham Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Balaram Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Nindasi Yagya Vidhe Ahaha Shuti Jatam Sadayari Daya Darshita Pashugatam Keshavadrita Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Mlechani Vahanidhane Kalayasi Karavala Duma Ketamiva Kimapi Karalam Keshavadrita Kalki Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Shri Jaya Deva Kaveri Damudita Mudara Shinasukadam Shubadam Bhavasaram Keshavadrita Dashvidharupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Vedanudarate Jaganti Vahate Bhugolamudibhrate Daityam Dharayate Balim Chalayate kshatrashayam kurvate paulasyam jayate halam kalayate karunyamatanvate lechan murchayate dashakritikrite krishnayatubhyam. One more time. Lechan murchayate dashakritikrite krishnayatubhyam namah.
O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a wonderful dwarf brahmana, all glories to you. With your massive steps, you deceive King Bali, and with the Ganges water emanating from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings in this world. O Lord Krishna, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who incarnate in these 10 forms. In the form of Matsya, you rescue the Vedas. As Kurma, you bear Mount Mandara on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth on your tusk. As Nisringa, you tear open the chests of the demon Hiranyakashipu. As Vamana, you trick King Bali. As Parushuram, you slay all the wicked Kshatriyas. As Ramachandra, you defeat Ravana, the son of Pulastya. As Balaram, you carry a plow. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion toward all. And as Kalki, you kill the Mlechas. Lechan murchayate dashakriti krite krishnaya tubhyam namah. That is a very grave song, although it feels joyful to sing it. Jayadev Goswami has written that so that we can realize the gravity of what he's about to write in the Gita Govinda. And all the topics of the Lord are extremely weighty and therefore have extreme gravity to them, but they're joyful at the same time. Can I have a what do we want, a G? Low G. Am I sure that I want it that low? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Keep it going. So, today, we got up early in the morning and went to Mangalarti. We made the best sacrifice of all by chanting japa. Then we sat and listened to Bhagavatam class, came home and took Krishna Prasadam. Then we got on a boat. We went across the Jalungi River and we went to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his own home. There we prayed, "Dear Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please empower us to chant the holy name purely. Please empower us to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Please let us follow your mission statement, Jive Doi Krishnanam, Sarva Dharmasar. Let us have compassion as you do for all the conditioned souls in the material world, including ourselves. And let us loudly chant the holy name all over the world." Then we got back on the boat. We went down to the confluence of the Ganges and the Jalungi River. We put the ashes of five departed Vaishnavs into the Jalungi and Jamuna River. We bathed in the river. We threw mud at each other. We felt happiness associating with the devotees. We came back on the boat, took beautiful Krishna Prasadam. We came in this room. We chanted prayers. We listened to Bhagavad Gita. We discussed the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We chanted the Dasavatara Stotram. And then we started singing this song, which goes like this.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hey!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Everybody! Hey!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Mitra, play that thing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare.
Go Premanande! Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Madhuripura harmonium. Ananda Murari kartals. Mitrasena Mitratar. For the Hare Krishna singers. For the Hare Krishna dancers. For everybody in Mayapur. For everybody all over India. For everybody all over the world. Go Premanande!
Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Haribo.
Hare Krishna. And now we have Shraddha Devi Dasi to tell us what we've won.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.